This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. Tonight, the race is for the Pembroke Select Board with incumbents Dan Trabuco and John Brown and challenger Michelle Burt. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm your moderator, Christine James. I'm joined by reporter Tom Gorman and Art Egerton of Pembroke Town News asking questions. Video also provided by Pembroke Town News. Timing you all is our news intern and Norwell senior, Maeve Hanley. Thank you so much. Our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than a 2-minute open and a 1-minute close, please. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters, and the answers we ask you to stick to about a minute, and then a lightning round, my favorite part, where the answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. Why is it my favorite part? Because anybody running for office, it's really hard to be that succinct and answer a question. So that's why we love lightning rounds. Also, again, please try to keep your answers to about a minute. You will be timed. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell, and we're tough about the bell. Now, we did choose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie just a few moments ago, so we are going to begin tonight with the three candidates, and again, we just chose the order, and of course, I just moved the piece of paper that I had written that down on. Here we go. It's going to be Dan Trabuco, then John Brown, then Michelle Burt, and at the end, with closing statements, we're going to reverse that order. So let's begin now with opening statements and start with Dan Trabuco. Good evening.
Good evening, Christine. Thanks for having us, and thanks to WATD for hosting this political forum. My name is Dan Trabuco. I am a candidate for re-election to the Pembroke Select Board. I have been a Select Board member for 15 years. Prior to that, I was on the Planning Board in the town of Pembroke for 7 years. So I have a passion and commitment to the town of Pembroke, and I like to serve in this capacity. Other people serve the town in different ways, whether it's scouting or youth coaching. This is how I've chosen to serve the town, and I've been working very hard at it, and people telling me that I'm good at my job, and I listen to them very well on that. And so experience in municipal government and knowing how it works in Pembroke are important factors when choosing someone to vote for. As I said, I've been a member of the Select Board for 15 years and on the Planning Board and served on various town committees and councils. This job is much more than one meeting per week. So the election is on May 18th, Saturday. There are two open seats, and I ask for your vote for one of those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of Dan Trabuco. Now let's go to John Brown.
Thank you. I'm Selectman John Brown, and I'm asking for your vote May 18th for another term as your elected official here in the town of Pembroke. People have been asking me why I would want to continue doing this job. My answer to you and others is simple. The job isn't done yet, at least for me. As your member of the Select Board, I've had the privilege of serving as liaison on several committees. Right now, I'm serving as your liaison for the Council on Aging, Veterans Department, and the Chamber of Commerce. I'm also the chair of the Public Safety Building Committee and your representative for the Plymouth County Advisory Board. Lastly, the main thing I appreciate doing in this job is finding solutions for individuals in Pembroke. I look forward to answering questions here tonight, today, and I want to thank the people of Pembroke for their support over the years as one of the of your elected officials. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the opening statement of John Brown. Now let's go opening statement, Michelle Burt.
Thank you. I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you a little about myself. My husband and I purchased the home I grew up in 1991 from my parents. We raised our children in Pembroke. In fact, my kids are fourth generation residents. I've been around a long time. I have a long and proud history of community involvement that dates back to my childhood. I'm a member of the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce, a former selectman, a former Housing Authority commissioner, and I've served on numerous boards and committees. I have both a business and a legal background. My colleagues call me a polite pit bull, and I take that as a compliment because I stand up for what I believe in, I ask questions, and I demand answers. If these are the qualities you're looking for in a selectman, then I request your vote on May 18th.
Thank you. That was the opening statement for Michelle Burt. Now we're going to get to the questions, and the two gentlemen here said, please go ahead, Christine. Thank you. And I will ask the opening question. An issue that's come up in just about every town we cover recently, the MBTA Community Zoning Law. And it's interesting, during some of the town meetings, we knew this would be an issue in some towns it was a little bit of a surprise. Marshfield said no. They voted against it. Norwell this week also turned them down. I believe Pembroke did vote for it and voted for it early to go along with. Let's start a little bit and get, what are your ideas? Do you agree with the MBTA Community Zoning Law? Let's start with you, Michelle.
So I'm not in favor of the 40R. I know that our selectmen voted for that. But unlike 40B, it doesn't go away after you reach your 10% affordable housing. The 40R is forever. And I know it's, you know, tied with purse strings that we won't receive, you know, certain funding if we don't go along with the 40R rule. But they can put 50 units on 1 acre. I know it's designated to a certain section in Pembroke, but that's also going to strain our schools, police, and fire. And I'm just not in favor of the idea of 40R. I don't think it's fair that the governor can just jam this down our throat with the threat of withholding funding. I think this should be something the residents should vote on, and it should be the residents' decision whether or not we allow it. Because according to legislation, you need a two-thirds vote for a zoning change in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Okay. Same question, Dan Tribuco. What do you think?
Well, I think it's an unfunded mandate that the state has foisted upon every community in Massachusetts, and Pembroke is among them. And it's it is law. It was signed by Governor Charlie Baker, and we are compelled to comply with it. These towns that are voting against it, they're going to find out very soon that the state has more power than a small town. So even if they found a loophole, the state will just change the law. These people want it. These are the state is adamant on this. So what the town of Pembroke has done, knowing that dynamic, we have town meeting has voted on an overlay district in the industrial area. So we have a little bit of, we have the say of where it goes, rather than having it put in the residential area.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dan Tribuco. Remember, if you feel that you didn't get in everything you wanted to say, you can always use that in your closing statement. And I am going to ask each one of you a quick follow-up to this too. But John Brown, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, when we were talking about this in our meeting, I was asking, like, how far does the town of Pembroke have to be away from a commuter rail? And of course, the one that's closest to us is the Halifax. Now, when the Commonwealth is concerned about MBTA, that's one of the first stations they close. And it's really concerning that basically they put this upon us. But since we were in compliance, and also, like I said, there were strings involved with money being allocated for being in compliance, you know, I'm against it, but I'm glad the town meeting voted for it to make sure that we can move on and move on to other issues.
Okay, I'd like to ask you all a quick follow-up question. If you could tweak this MBTA Community Zoning Law so you think it would be an acceptable provision, what would you do to it, Dan?
I would have the towns be able to vote on it themselves. And the communities around the state that want this program can have it, and if the towns don't want it, they can push back against it. The state foisting this upon us is a bad thing, but there's also a need for housing, especially affordable housing in our towns. Whether it's young families coming in or the older generation downsizing, so there's a bit of a balance that we have to reach here, and I think each community should have a choice of what that balance is within certain parameters that the state puts on us.
Okay, John, what do you think? If you could tweak it, how do you think this could be a good law?
Usually anything coming from government at times is not really a good law. Sometimes it basically, there's other strings that would be attached to it on top of that. Mm-hmm. So unless it was a clean bill that said something maybe about busing to Boston, or, you know, like I said, we're going to have a Logan Express that people are interested actually building in our area. But that fell through because of those who've owned these properties were against it.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what do you think? How could you tweak this to make it work? Or do you think it's untweakable?
I think it's untweakable. I mean, that's probably why the town of Rockport, Marshfield, and a bunch of other towns are joined in a class action lawsuit so that they don't have to deal with 40. I don't like the idea at all. It takes away control of our local government and gives it in the hands of the state. And I don't like the idea at all. And I don't want to tweak it at all. I want it to go away.
Okay. I just want to ask you, aren't you glad that I jumped in here and just hogging all these questions? But we're on this topic. I want to ask you all each another question that's tied in with this. We use the term all the time, affordable housing. I want some numbers. What to you is affordable housing on the South Shore? I want a price for a house and I want a price for an apartment, like a 2,200 square foot colonial home and a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment. What do you think is an affordable number, Michelle?
Well, unfortunately, if you're buying a house for $410,000 and you're putting down 5% because of the high interest rate, your mortgage payment's $3,000 right now. That's a sad state of affairs. So even at the bottom of the barrel, the cheaper mm-hmm. homes, they're not going to get affordable for our young people until rates come down.
Okay.
And because of the supply and demand, everyone can get top dollar for their house.
What's an affordable apartment, you think? A number?
I think an affordable apartment for two young working professionals is probably $1,500 to $1,800.
Okay. Same question, Dan. What do you think's affordable house and affordable apartment?
So the affordable house in this area would be around the 450 range. And that sounds high, but that's what it is, unless you have a small home by the ponds. And an affordable apartment, something under 2,000.
Okay. What do you think? Say, what are your numbers, John? What do you think's affordable?
Well, roughly basically what everyone's saying. Mm-hmm. Because of the assessed rates going on, basically we're being kind of assessed out of our houses right now with everything that's up in there. So you're looking probably around 425, 450 for a mm-hmm. house, and for a rental itself, I would hope maybe 1,500, but I've been seeing around the South Shore, you're looking about $3,000, $3,500 just for an apartment alone that looks out on a parking lot.
Yeah, pretty scary, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's why these kids are living in their parents' basement, saving their money. Okay, Tom Gorman, questions for our candidates here tonight.
Just to jump on that a little bit, does Pembroke offer enough affordable housing opportunities?
Let's start with Dan.
Okay, so just looking through the lens of Chapter 40B, Chapter 40B mandates that every community has 10% of affordable housing stock. Pembroke right now is about 9.6% or so. We're under 10, and you have to be 10 or over, and we're just under it. But we have an affordable housing committee that's trying to work towards the goal of getting a greater bank of affordable housing in town. And as a matter of fact, the select board just passed our first friendly 40B through the new program that the state has offered. So Pembroke is working toward that goal. And Pembroke is also probably the only community in the South Shore that was above 10% at one time. And we've just matriculated out of that with new growth.
Michelle?
I do think that we do a good job trying to create affordable housing. In fact, we have an article on the warrant for a housing trust in the town of Pembroke, so that if a developer comes in and wants to do a big project, instead of demanding that the million-dollar house is only $750,000, instead of doing 25% affordable on-site, he can make a contribution to the housing trust. And then the trustees of the town can decide how that's going to be spent, and the trustees can decide how to create more affordable housing in the town of Pembroke. So that's an article that we have on the warrant, and I think that will be helpful in facilitating more housing for the people that need it.
Okay, same question, John.
But it's got to be all the above for me, for basically housing itself. So you look at a condo, you look at rental, you look at a starter home, your forever home, you know, something that all the above. So basically there are choices within town. And I said, we've been trying to do that, especially with one place off of one of our streets, and basically trying to do rentals. We're looking at basically all the above. And getting that 10% is great, but it's always trying to get there where, according to the law itself, it's basically as long as you're trying to get there, they really shouldn't be trying to bust you for you don't have 10% yet. Mm-hmm. And the housing committee itself is trying to get to 15 to make sure that we have above board and not just the 10%.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you, be patient with the microphone here, Art Egerton, question for the candidates. Can you get to the
mic? There we go. Do you support community gardens and urban farming initiatives? How can Pembroke encourage residents to grow from their own food, promote sustainable agriculture, and connect with nature?
Let's go to Michelle.
Can you repeat the
community
question
gardens.
Again? I think community gardens is a great idea. I don't know if any of the surrounding towns do community gardens, but I know we have some clubs in town, like the Mattakeesett Garden Club. They do a lot of the islands that we have in town. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a wonderful idea. It brings people together, and I'm sure we could find land to have a community garden.
Okay, same question, John.
Yeah, I'm all for community gardens. It's the funny thing, probably about 3 years ago when I started my own garden, because my friend of mine was doing all this great stuff and giving me all this produce, but I'd rather actually do it myself. So if we're able to find some property around and people have the time and interest to do so, I think it would be a great initiative for the town of Pembroke.
Dan, community gardens, growing some food here?
If enough people got together and wanted to start a cooperative, I would certainly encourage them. On my way to work in Boston, I drive by Orchard Park Housing Project, which has community gardens, an old Victory Garden left over from World War II, and that's used every day by the folks in the community. Everyone has a small plot, and I see people gardening, meeting with each other, socializing every time I pass by there. So it sounds like a worthy endeavor.
It's funny, when you were asking that question, Art, I was thinking when we first moved to the South Shore decades ago, the realtor said, you know, it's a great area, the South Shore, except, you know, very safe, except during the month of August, then people lock their cars and roll up their windows. And I said, what? He goes, yes, that's when even random strangers will drive by your house and put zucchinis in your car. So I never forgot that until I started my own garden. I said, yeah, he was right. He was right, definitely. But anyway, that
you
was
just need more zucchini recipes, yeah, that's all.
Definitely. So I want to ask you another question. Again, you're listening to a political forum here. It's the town of Pembroke, the three candidates. We've got the two incumbents, Dan Trabucco, John Brown, and challenger Michelle Burt here for two seats in the election, which is on May 18th. This was a question sent in by a listener, and they said, Governor Healey is proposing giving communities the opportunity to increase the local meals tax option by 0.25% in this year's state budget. Would you support such an increase for the town of Pembroke? And if so, would you allow it to go in the general fund or be earmarked for a community need? John.
Well, the meals tax, I believe that we spend enough percentage-wise on the meals tax, especially when we're looking at an average of $350,000 to $400,000 that we bring in. And to put a little bit more strain on people or businesses that have to put this on the bill, I'd rather not do it at this time because I don't think it's worth it.
Okay. What do you think, Dan? Yay or nay?
I don't believe we need to increase the meals tax right now, but I will say this. The mindset of Beacon Hill is insidious. So they will not give the towns their own local right on housing issues, but yet they give us the local right to raise taxes. And if they think that the taxes need to go up or local aid needs to increase, then they should do it on the statewide level and not put it on the towns.
Okay. Michelle, your thoughts?
So this year we're projected to bring in about $460,000 from the meals tax. So that's, you know, a couple teachers, firefighters, police. So I would be in favor of raising it if we could keep the money into the general fund. Another quarter. So if it's, you know, your meal is $100, you're probably talking $3.25 as opposed to $3. I'm not going to miss it when I'm out to dinner. And if we could use that money towards departments, I would definitely be in favor of it.
Okay. I'm going to go to Tom Gorman again. Question here for the Pembroke candidates.
What do you feel are the biggest issues facing the town right now?
Michelle?
If you would ask a resident, they would say probably roads and water, for sure. We have a capital item on the town meeting warrant for improving the water infrastructure to the tune of about $8 million. Unfortunately, we still have 11 miles of cast iron pipe that needs to be replaced, but we're picking away at it a little bit of time. I think this year they're scheduled to do High Street. And we also have a new well going in down there in the Pleasant Street area. So we're definitely working on the water infrastructure, but we're kind of behind the eight ball with that.
Okay. Dan, same question.
Right. So it's infrastructure. Those are the biggest ticket items and the most difficult to fund. They're long-term projects generally. And one of the things that the town has done to be proactive in working toward making that a sustainable system of fixing the infrastructure and not letting it get run down is, a few years ago, we started the capital fund. And previously to that capital fund being funded at Springtown Meeting, all the capital projects, including roadwork, were funded at Fall Town Meeting once we got our free cash certified, and then it was a free-for-all. Whoever spoke the most or had the biggest personality at town meeting floor got the money, and generally the DPW got pushed to the side. So if you're wondering why the roads went downhill, it was because of that system that it's now outdated.
Okay, same question, John Brown.
No, I agree with my opponents here. Capital improvements, where we're working on certain things, roads, water, and especially having that plan that basically that we had from 2012, now we have 2022, where this road plan and keeping on the road maintenance, as the town manager says, his little fish diagram, when it got past a certain point, when towns, our town and including other towns on the South Shore, would use Chapter 90 money only and weren't be able to put more money into the road system itself. Now we have a plan and we're moving ahead, so things should be getting better, but this is why the Town Manager Act was so crucial to the town of Pembroke.
Okay, let's go down again to Art Egerton. A question for the candidates.
How could you involve residents in environmental decision making? And given the increase in frequency of extreme weather events, what steps would you take to make Pembroke more resilient to climate change?
Okay, hit somebody with a microphone here. John Brown, let's start with you this time.
That in itself, to see how we can be resilient with climate change. Right now, you're not sure basically what's, well, I would say we know what's happening itself with these storms going through, but at the same time, we want us to be resilient of what structure of our town buildings or people throughout town itself or basically for their homes. I mean, that does put a lot more on the taxpayer to make sure that they're okay if they're able to do it at all. So, I mean, I wouldn't have a really correct answer to basically how we should be doing that, but I'm glad you asked the question.
Okay. I'm going to ask the same question to Michelle.
Well, I think we're doing a little bit of our part with our recycling. We have a really good recycling program, and I think that, you know, that's one of the things that will help with climate change. I know pollution's a big item, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't given a lot of thought to the town as it relates to climate change. Maybe we could do more conservation, rain barrels, and stuff like that. And I think just getting the community more involved, so I would say communication with the residents probably would help on that topic.
Same question, Dan.
Right. So the town of Pembroke DPW has been working on their stormwater management plan to make sure that the water runoff can be handled. As we know that there have been greater weather events as the years progressed. So we want to make sure that our public ways have a stormwater management plan, the drainage system that can handle it. And also the planning board is doing the same on their end, because when a new subdivision is built or a site plan is developed for a single project, the planning board makes sure that the water runoff on that property stays in that property in the drainage basins that are built within them, especially with subdivisions. So they are sizing those to manage the current climate.
Okay. Any follow-up with that? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break here. It's a bottom of the hour. Excuse me, you're listening to a political forum here on WATD. The race is for the Pembroke Select Board. Three candidates are here, Dan Tribugo, John Brown, Michelle Burt. We'll be back in a few minutes right after this, 95.9 WATD.
The Pembroke town elections are on Saturday, May 18th. The Pembroke Chamber of Commerce is proud to host a forum for the Select Board and School Committee candidates on May 9th at the Pembroke Library. Seating is limited, so tune in to the local scene on Comcast Channel 9 or Local Scene's YouTube channel at 6 p.m. for live coverage. And don't forget to vote in the Pembroke Town Elections on Saturday, May 18th.
Mark your calendar for the Talking Information Center Starry Night Gala, happening on Thursday, June 6th, 5 till 9 at Indian Pond Country Club in Kingston, for a packed night of food and fun to raise awareness for this longtime South Shore nonprofit organization. The Talking Information Center is a volunteer-driven radio reading service serving the visually impaired population of Massachusetts. The evening is hosted by WATD radio personality Rob Hakala, and live music and dancing provided by the multi-New England Music Award-nominated band Total Strangers. The evening also features great auction items and recognition of Star TIC volunteers of over 46 years. That's the Talking Information Center Starry Night Gala, Thursday, June 6th, 5 till 9, at Indian Pond Country Club in Kingston. For tickets, more information, or to just make a contribution, visit the Talking Information Center at ticnetwork.org. That's ticnetwork.org.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Well, thank you. That's right. I am your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined here by reporters Tom Gorman and Art Egerton. We are asking questions of the three candidates for the Pembroke Select Board, John Brown, Dan Tribugo, Michelle Burt. And right before we went to the break, we went to my turn. Now, there is always so much race, interest in political race in Pembroke. You guys always have a lot of action going on in the town of Pembroke. My question is, why this year is there so much interest in the school committee race? Seems like there's more interest in that race even than in this race. Dan Tribugo, why?
Well, I think it's a cultural issue, what's happening at the schools. So there are folks that feel one way, and if to put a hand to it, some folks are left, some folks are right. And it's probably a 50-50 division in town, so that makes it tight, hot.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. So you've been very, very polite and very tactful. Give me an example of what one of the issues is.
Gay pride flags in schools.
Okay.
Flying them in the schools. And some people feel that they shouldn't be in the classroom. And the funny thing is that some people that feel that way don't have an issue with them in the common areas, in the hallways, mm-hmm. But they don't feel that they should be in the classroom, and putting that cultural mindset to the children.
Okay, Michelle, what do you think? Why is there so much interest in the school committee race in Pembroke this year?
Well, in addition to what Dan said, I would just add I also think it's the VOTEC issue. You know, we don't have our own VOTEC program. Mm-hmm. And now that the state is allowing pretty much everyone to go to any VOTEC, we can't even get our kids into Silver Lake anymore, or it's difficult to get them in, whereas before it was easier. So it's a big issue. Do we join South Shore VOTEC and spend $25 million, or do we build our own program and spend $25 million here? And ultimately, that'll be up to the voters to decide. But I think the VOTEC, I just wanted to add to what Dan said, the VOTEC is also a hot button.
Okay. Same question. What do you think, John Brown, about why there's so much interest in the school committee race in Pembroke?
Because we have actually a very active population in and of itself. I mean, besides the other things that, you know, Dan and Michelle have said, people want to know what's going on and really do care about our school system. And that's the reason why I found it funny when we were like, you want the select board to be here. I honestly would have thought that you would have said the school committee to come on in to actually answer these questions for you. So, I mean, they're very active on both sides of the aisle, if we want to give, like I said, give it caveat on that. But at the same time, we have very a lot of parents are very active and they really want to know what's going on and make sure that the schools are better for their kids down the road.
Okay. I just want to ask a quick follow-up question to each of you. Another mood that I've picked up following politics in Pembroke. How much do you think national politics influence local politics in Pembroke? And does it seem like it's more in Pembroke than in some of the other surrounding towns? John?
It's all over the Commonwealth. There's nothing that basically national politics hasn't infiltrated, and especially within our town.
Mm-hmm. John, Dan Tribuco, what do you think? How much does national politics influence what goes on in Pembroke?
It has an influence, but I think probably the last 3 years or so, it's slacked off and been more focused in local issues. But there's always an undercurrent of the national scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, Michelle? National politics, how much do they influence the town of Pembroke?
I really don't think it has that much of an influence with our local government.
Okay. Now let's go to Tom Gorman. Question for the candidates.
What are your thoughts on the House Speaker's reluctance to hold a special election to fill the seat vacated by Representative Josh Cutler's resignation?
Okay. Let's start with Michelle.
I don't like it. I think it's unfair because now I feel as though we're not represented.
Okay. Dan?
It was definitely unfair, and in fact, it was a dirty deed what he did to the town of Pembroke and the entire legislative district. He should have held a special election so that the 6th Plymouth would have representation. Right now, we do not have full representation until January. And I think he did it for politics. I think he did it to help his friend win election in September.
Okay. You want to elaborate on that? 30 seconds?
Right. I think he did it purposefully so that there wouldn't be a Republican in that seat because there was a movement that a Republican could have won an election. And then he would have been an incumbent come November.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a Republican can win the regular election in the general election in November? Do you think the chances is great or less?
It's less in the general election, I think.
Okay. John Brown, same question.
When I first heard that, I was very upset. And I'm glad that actually the chairman actually wrote a letter to them just to basically show that we're unsatisfied. When you have a committee that gives us two representatives, and then basically one leaves for another job, and you can't give us the second one back during appropriations, during the budget season. And then I have to beg and plead other representatives around the South Shore to say, please help us out so we can get our fair share of money that we deserve because we're taxpayers too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that one of our representatives have stepped up that basically is part of Pembroke, but like I said, the whole 6th Plymouth is underrepresented, which mm-hmm. is a terrible travesty for us.
Okay. Any follow-up with that, Tom?
Yes. How does this affect the town?
Okay.
Happen to that vacant seat?
John?
Budget. I mean, we're asking for certain things that we have to ask other representatives, too, that are helping us out and actually are willing to help us out and told us to say, please let us know where we can help you, even though we know we don't represent you. And they have their own district of their own, too.
Okay. Same question, Dan.
Yeah, it's the lack of representation and simple things that we need from the folks up in Beacon Hill for through the town manager. He needs assistance from them. We have a couple of items on our town meeting warrant that are going to require special legislation from the legislature, and we need advocacy.
Okay, same question, Michelle.
Communication, budget. We need the advocacy. Yeah, so we're kind of left empty here.
Okay. Any more follow-up with that, Tom? Okay. Art Egerton, question for the candidates.
Okay. Back to the environment again. do you have any plans or thoughts about enhancing the natural environment, including forests and wetlands and open spaces, and how it could tie in with the local projects, like, example, putting solar panels on the town hall or something like that? If there are things in municipal that can be done that will be better for the environment?
Okay, let's start with Dan on that question.
Right, so municipal government only has so much power to help with global warming, if that's your larger point to be made. And we can do little things like a solar field. We have a solar field in town that the town owns. We put it at the old landfill. So we are doing small things like that. But the large things are really for the larger federal government.
Okay. Same question, John?
Oh, well, I know that basically the Master Plan Committee has looked into this, basically what our open space is like. And we have in town itself tons of open space. Like, what are we going to be doing with it? How we and other spaces throughout town, and how we're going to develop certain things. But I know the Master Plan Committee took that up during their time.
Michelle, same question.
One thing that we're doing is at least we're looking forward. When we do construct a new building, we're making sure that the roof can carry the weight of the solar panels. I was on the community center building project, and we made sure that that was one of the things going forward, is if we did have to put solar on that roof, we could. And I believe they did it also with the school when they did the school roof over. So we are looking forward when we do some projects in that regards.
Okay. Let's get to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Does the town of Pembroke need a DEI committee? John Brown.
Well, we had one and then was disbanded by the board.
Do you think the town needs one?
Overall, being an independent of itself, it's doing what it has to do. And right now, it doesn't seem that it does. But if you're looking at each individual letter of what's, you know, diversity, you know, we're not leaving anyone out of town. You know, equity, you have an equal chance of trying to get stuff done within Pembroke or what you want to do. And inclusion, you know, it's, you're going to find people that are disagreeable within our town and any town. So, you know, which we try our best as individuals.
Okay, Dan, what do you think? Does the town need one now or not?
I don't believe the town needs one as a municipal entity. Once the municipal DEI committee was disbanded, the same folks and some others joined as well for a private group, but they're welcoming to bring other members in. So I think it's running well on their own, and I don't think it should be part of the municipal government.
Okay, same question, Michelle Burt.
Okay, so let's press the rewind button a little bit here and go back in time.
Okay.
We had a citizen's petition to tell the selectmen that we, the citizens who voted on it at town meeting, do not want a government DEI committee. We voted on it, and that although a citizen's petition is not legally binding, we voted on it that we do not want a government committee. The selectmen then went and overturned the citizens' vote and created a DEI committee. So I don't think anyone is against having a DEI committee. The issue that you're probably alluding to was the big upset with the townspeople about whether or not the committee should be a private committee or a government committee. And so am I in favor of a DEI committee? I think a DEI committee is fine as long as it's a private committee. I'm not in favor of the government committee. We voted on that.
I really wasn't alluding to anything that happened.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying as of
it's
today.
It's been a hot topic. That's
yeah,
fine.
Oh, I know it has been. I thought, well, everybody's kind of calmed down a little bit. And I remember everything that happened. So I'm thinking, well, today's different than yesterday or even 2 weeks ago. I was thinking sometimes when people think, well, maybe we could do it. Maybe we could do it this way. And that's why I thought, today, what do you need? People change their mind.
Yeah,
so
I don't
it's always
think
good to get a point of view.
Was against the committee itself. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that our vote was overturned.
Okay. Tom Gorman, question?
What are your thoughts about the new community center that's going to be opening up soon?
Is that June 15th?
Yes.
Okay. John Brown.
I'm happy. My seniors, basically, like when I talk to them every week, they're ecstatic to get in there, and they're just, they cannot wait. And then, especially knowing the director for recreation, who basically is going to be encompassing the whole community center itself for business for building management, so many programs that he has going on, going to the future. This is going to be awesome for the town.
Okay, Michelle, what do you think?
I'm very excited about it. I worked on that committee for 7 years, as did Dan Tumbuco, and that building was a long time coming. And it came in on time and under budget, so I'm very happy with the project.
Okay, same question, Dan.
I'm ecstatic. I can't wait for it to open. I worked very hard with a lot of other people for a long time to put just to get it in front of the townspeople at town meeting and for a vote in on a ballot. And I'm glad that it went through. I'm glad that it's nearing completion. And I can't wait for folks to walk inside it. Because right now, when you drive by, you don't get a sense of how big it is mm-hmm. on the inside. And once they see it in person, some of the people that might not be for it right now, as far as whether it's the architecture or pick apart the landscape, but people pick things apart. But once they walk inside, I think they're going to change their mind.
Right? How many years did that fight go on? Because it just
a
seemed. Because I remember, it seems like the majority of the time I've been here. 20.
So there's, I think, three committees.
Is it 20 years at least?
Over 20 years.
Okay, it was more. I just couldn't. After a while, it was one of those issues. Sort of thinking about like that Peterson, Poole, and Braintree back in the 60s, you know, when I was thinking kindergarten. That was a fight about that. I'm just going to jump ahead here because it's kind of a follow-up question. With the new, I guess it was approved, the new public safety building, seems like it was full steam ahead. Now I'm not hearing much at all about anything about that. What's the status with that, Dan?
So right now they're running into some problems with the civil and site work.
Mm-hmm.
Both sites, the site down by Monroe Street and the one on Route 53, they had to change the wetlands delineation. So that changed where the septic system went, and they have to increase the height of the lot by trucking in dirt, and all of that has added more cost to the job. We're going to have a meeting with the committee, the board is, to find out exactly what the numbers are. But it's a couple of million dollars over budget right now, and we need to make some tough decisions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Same question, John Brown. What do you think about this new public safety building? I said we heard a lot, mm-hmm. then we didn't really hear much. What do you think is going to happen? Your thoughts?
Yeah, unfortunately, I said the rumor mill came on out of nowhere because, unfortunately, folks basically were saying 12 million, 48 million over budget, and I went, this is insane. Because since I'm the chair of the committee,
okay.
that doesn't make any sense to me, where the estimators coming in for the first round is basically what they are. They're estimating, mm-hmm. and they're seeing what we can do. But to allude to basically what Dan said, yeah, site work was over, and then the Monroe Street property, or Monroe School Street property, I believe the architects overreached.
Mm-hmm.
for that. So basically it went a little further than it should have. And so basically we've been looking at all kinds of options because we want to find a solution for this. And even if it is a combined building centralized, then we'll think about that too. But like I said, I have to talk to my board and also the committee itself to make sure that we do this properly for the taxpayer, because we don't want to come back to the committee, come back to the taxpayer after we've asked them for almost $62 million.
Okay. Same question, Michelle. What do you think, your thoughts on what's going on with the new public safety building?
Yeah, we haven't heard much about it lately. I did talk to Bill Shenard. He said the construction cost is probably going to come in around $41 million. I know that it's needed. He said that he was going to work on an estimated cost to build, and they're waiting for that to come back in. I don't think that information's been made public yet. So I can't speak to whether or not it's going to come in or under or over budget, but I know it's definitely needed. I mean, our police department has the evidence room in the attic, and the firefighters are traipsing with their dirty, work gear through the kitchen to wash it, and they're parking on, you know, failing concrete. I mean, don't forget that building was built back in the 70s.
I was going to say, I thought it was older.
We didn't even have, paramedics as we do per se, that the cops would throw you in the back of the station wagon and rush you to the hospital. And now we don't fight as many fires. We're doing more ambulance runs. They do 3,700 runs a year.
I believe it. Well, and, you know, it's interesting. I did that police academy, the Citizens Police Academy in Pembroke.
Oh, yeah.
In 1999. I think Bill Bolter was running it that
year.
Yeah. And yep. I thought, boy, they really need to get rid of this building. So
you can imagine now, they're on top of each other.
I must say, though, the bathroom was clean as a whistle. I give them credit for that. But the building is in tough shape. Now let's go to Art Egerton. Question for the candidates.
As you know, I'm a member of the Conservation Commission. And I'm wondering, can you think of any ways that there might be better communication between the town's boards? When a certain issue comes up? Like
Dan, communication between town boards, how can it be improved?
Yeah, so a couple of years back, the select board would have boards, committees, and department heads come in to meet with us face to face. So the public gets some face time with them, and the boards interact. And what occurred was the boards, whether it's I don't want to call any out, but I'll just use the planning board. Mm-hmm. When they were invited to come before us, it was like going to see the principal. And they did not like it or care for it. So that method of communication didn't work. So I think it's just a matter of the town manager working with the different departments and boards and through the Board of Selectmen. He could be our sounding board.
Okay. Same question, John Brown.
Yeah, same thing, because I know that this year, and hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit more coming up, mm-hmm. where we were talking to department heads. And I think they kind of dread it too, thinking that they're going to hit in front of the principal's office. But at the same time, we want to make sure what's going on and how can we help. And that's the biggest thing with any of the boards too. When you were going through a lot of stuff, Art, this year with certain property, I got calls all the time. Can you please show up? And I said, no problem. You know why? Because I'm here to help, not here to take over. Because I got yelled at one time for somebody who said, "No, well, you don't know my job." I said, "No, I don't." But I said, I want to know what you're going through so I can help. Mm-hmm. And I hope that the committees and boards of our town understand that that's what we're here for.
Okay. Michelle, what do you
think?
Yeah,
maybe if the town manager could meet with the department heads and then just give the selectmen a little summary about the greatest hits. I know you guys do liaisons right now, and that works well also. But maybe just a little summary from all the department heads about, you know, what's the top items on the agenda for that week. That would be helpful.
Okay. Economic development in Pembroke, where is it? Michelle, what's happening with it?
Oh.
That's a big sigh there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not much. I know we need it. People move to Pembroke because they like the sleepy little town. I said this before about the hotel. I know Dan mentioned that you need town sewer for a hotel. But, you know, there are a lot of hotels in America that don't have town sewer, so there's got to be a way that they could have their own treatment plant. But if we could put a hotel over by the Christmas tree shops, I mean, the residents are not staying at the hotels, then we could have a hotel tax. So, you know, that's one idea that I have for economic development, would be a hotel and a hotel tax.
Dan, economic development in Pembroke, where is it?
Yeah, so it's... The town tries to encourage businesses in town. As a matter of fact, the Doggy Daycare that's on Oak Street wanted to put one of those highway billboards, they're right up against Route 3. They wanted to put a billboard up against the highway. So I worked with the owner trying to advocate for that, and it turned out across the way in Marshfield side, they ended up getting the billboard, so they were too close to one another. So we did try on that one. A hotel was mentioned. Bob Murphy, who owns Corporate Park, came to the town a couple years back now and asked what the planning board thought of putting a hotel up mm-hmm. at Corporate Park and also a skating rink. And we were all for him bringing a proposal. So we tried to work with him on that, but it just wasn't economically feasible for him.
Okay, same question, John.
I know that the town and the town manager are working at it, and I know that several businesses throughout, you know, the South Shore, I believe, are trying to basically come on in, and we're trying to figure that out as we speak.
Okay, got time for another question here. Tom?
On the town meeting warrant, there was a home rule petition asking the legislature to allow two additional liquor licenses. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that?
John?
For it, because actually I had one business for that liquor license over at the Christmas tree shop ask if they were able to come on in. Since we are full up of the package licenses, we can do pouring license all the time. But package licensing, we have to go to the legislature to ask. And I think it'd be wonderful to actually have this license and the other one on Washington Street to make sure that there's some funding coming in for Pembroke. And plus, if anyone's worried about, you know, another, you know, liquor store coming into town, we would be more competing actually with the town of Marshfield than we would the town of Pembroke for the other liquor licenses that we have.
Michelle, same question.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it. And I think it just shows that we're trying to be a, you know, more business-friendly commerce in the town of Pembroke.
Okay. Dan?
I'm for it. It makes good economical sense, and it goes to the previous question, economic development.
Mm. Okay, any follow-up with that, Tom? Okay, I want to go to our lightning round now. Of course, our favorite part here. We're just going to ask you a very few quick questions, and those questions are basically a yes or no question or a one or two sentence. Now, there's tradition, just because I know Dan Pallotta still listens sometimes to these forums, and it's become part of my brand. And I know the commissioners get ticked off, but that's why I still have to ask it. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Two sentences, John Brown.
Stay. Chairman Gerald Valenzuela is awesome.
Oh, wow. There you go. Dan, same question.
Stay, and that's a change from my previous position, because what they did with the COVID money was fantastic.
Okay. Same question, Michelle.
Stay. We got $8.5 million in CARES and ARPA money.
Okay. People saying you can be bought then? Okay. What about, this has come up in other towns, a NIP ban. Would you support a NIP ban, Michelle, in Pembroke?
I would. I'm so sick of picking them up on the side of the road. Well, not necessarily a ban. How about we just do maybe a 5 cent return, like the cans?
Two sentences. That's pretty good. Okay. NIP ban. Do you support a NIP ban, Dan? Oh, that sounds pretty good. A NIP ban, Dan.
It's alliterative.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yes. Give me two sentences on NIP bans.
No, I don't think we need a NIP ban. I think people should be responsible for themselves, and it's really on the people. And you can't legislate stupidity.
Okay. John, NIP ban. Yeah. Two sentences.
I'm against the NIP ban because actually it's gotten better actually through my street itself, because it used to be horrible.
Okay. Now, I always like to find out what people are doing in their off time. What are you streaming or binge watching? Be honest now. If you're watching something really trashy, I want to know. Michelle, share it with a few thousand
people.
Okay,
so it's called McBee Dynasty, and it's kind of like Yellowstone, but it's real cowboys. They live in Missouri, four brothers and their dad, and they own 10,000 acres.
Okay, we'll check it out.
McBee? McBee Dynasty.
Okay. Dan Dubuca, what are you streaming or binge watching?
Just finished up Fallout.
Okay.
I never played the game, but it's a great story. I recommend it.
Okay. What are you streaming or binge watching, John?
Actually, right now I'm binging a British comedy, Allo Allo, which is basically...
That's very bad.
Yeah, it is, but that's what it's called.
Okay.
But it's about a French bartender who basically has these Nazis coming in to kind of take his over, and the underground in France.
Very good. All right, we're going to go to closing statements now, and we're going to reverse the order that we started in. 1 minute, please. Stick to it. Michelle Burt, your closing statement.
I want the residents of Pembroke to know that I want to be on the Board of Selectmen because I believe we need a citizen's voice on the board. As a wife, mother, and taxpayer, I relate to the voters' challenges and concerns. I can bring a balanced and needed perspective to policy decisions. I want the residents to know I'm not affiliated with any political party, nor do I have a special allegiance to any political party. I am neither a Democrat or a Republican. I'm an independent, and my votes and actions will be guided by what is best for the town. And I request your vote on May 18th.
Thank you. That was Michelle Burt. Now let's go to closing statement. John Brown.
I would like to thank WATD for their invite here today to ask questions about our town of Pembroke. As you know, my name is John Brown. I've had the opportunity of being your member of the Select Board for 6 years, and I'm asking for your help on being reelected for another term. I know I've been elected by some to represent all. When reelected, I will continue to do so. When first elected to this position, sometimes it's all about party affiliation, outside groups, etc. But when you get into these roles, it becomes more about the town and how we can be good stewards of the town we represent. I want to thank you for listening to me today, and I humbly ask the people of Pembroke for your vote for re-election on May 18th. Thank you.
Thank you. And now closing a statement from Dan Trabuco.
Hi, folks. I'm Dan Trabuco, and I'm running for re-election for the Pembroke Select Board. You have two votes, and I humbly ask for one of your votes. I have experience and leadership capabilities that I want to maintain and keep working for you, the town, as a Select Board member. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a closing statement from Dan Tribuco. You've been listening to a WATD political forum, The Races for Pembroke. The three candidates were here, John Brown, Dan Tribuco, and Michelle Burt, asking questions with me. Got Tom Gorman and Art Egerton timing you all in the corner there. Norwell High School senior Maeve Hanley doing very good with the construction paper. This is going to be all up online. This is, of course, on Pembroke Town News as well. We're going to have this up on the WATD website, 959WATD.com. Your election is May 18th. I think there's like five other elections that day. It's a busy day. Mm-hmm. And as we like to tell people, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 959 WATD.